Praise, and let's welcome those who are joining us. Thank you for everybody joining us on the media, and we celebrate you. We've already been praying for you, and we're believing a lot for you today. And so I'm excited to share with you. I want to tell you a story about James Irwin, Jim Irwin. Jim Irwin was an astronaut. And he is an amazing guy, as they are. They're amazing people. But in 1971, he was on Apollo 15 that went to the moon. And not just get to the moon, but to land on the moon. And he was actually a pilot for the lunar vessel that would land on the moon. And so what that means is the mothership continued to orbit. Okay. I'm using terminology I understand. And he took the landing craft and piloted it to the moon. And I'm sharing this with you because there's a story that he tells about the Apollo 15 that you may not know. But it applies to the scripture and the message we're going to cover today. And it goes like this. Unbeknownst to me or in a lot of people, he said that, you know, well, for one thing, I'm going to say this. You know, you got more computer in your phone than they had in the whole system. Can you imagine? Okay, I won't go there. That amazes me. Okay, here we go. You see, I thought that when they would blast off from Earth, that they just beelined to the moon and they just got, no, that's not the way Jim Irwin describes it. He said there was three men on Apollo 15, and someone had to be awake the whole time. They took shifts. Someone had to be awake the whole time because they had to make an adjustment in direction about every 15 minutes. He said sometimes the ship was absolutely faced the opposite direction. Okay? And that they would have to, you know, make adjustments to realign themselves a number of times an hour to get to the moon. Continual adjustment to get to the destination. And even when they got there, because he was the pilot for the lunar craft and vehicle, and they had a 500-mile target, square miles target. Now, that's pretty big. That's actually bigger than the Dallas area. 500-mile target. That was considered their safe zone that NASA had picked out that would be a safe place to land. And according to Jim Irwin, they only made it by about 8 yards. Okay, so what I'm telling you is that sometimes we have a perception of perfection that's not real with real walking. Your walk on this earth, your walk with the Lord requires continual adjustment. Okay? Now, we're going to look at Hebrews 12. And I'm going to share with you some things out of Hebrews 12. And one of the things that's interesting is that in verse 12, and actually a little before that, it says, because of this, sometimes we see it as therefore. But it goes like this. It means that what we've shared before, now this is connected to it, and because of what we shared before, this is the way it works. And so Scripture's connected a lot. I know that man came through and put numbers and chapters, and I'm glad because it helps us locate. You know, we don't have the scroll. I'm glad. But I want to tell you something. A lot of times, what I'm saying from chapter to chapter and verse to verse, it's more connected than you may understand. And so when it's talking about the therefore or because of this, it's referring back in Hebrews 12 where it talks about discipline. Now, discipline. See, if I were to label this sermon discipline, click, click, all right. In your own mind, you might go on to lunch, you know. You say, well, I want to hear something a little more tasty. And we have a little trouble with modern Christianity because everybody wants dessert. Well, you know, if you let your kid eat dessert the whole time, you're going to kill him. You know, it's all right to have dessert. God's blessed us with a lot of dessert. I have a celebration lifestyle, but because of the Lord. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, you need some veggies and you need some meat and you need more than the ice cream milk of the word. Okay. And so, but discipline is a part of growing. And I'm not going to go back in Hebrews 12, but I'm going to kind of sum this up real quick. That, you know what, your discipline means development. And everybody wants and needs to develop. And sometimes growing is not fun. Sometimes growing doesn't feel good. Let me say there are seasons of it sometimes, depending on where we've been and what we've done. But the Lord loves you enough to correct you. And when you think about the word discipline, don't think about punishment, because that's the wrong concept. When you think about the word discipline, you think development. All right? And if that's not the case, then and sometimes it even crossed our mind back in the day when there was two-a-days, and we would think sometimes, are they trying to kill us before the season starts? But you see, they weren't trying to punish us. They weren't trying to kill us. They weren't trying to destroy us. They were trying to develop us into champions. But I promise you, there was nothing about two-a-days that was fun. But we need to have the concept that the Lord's loving on me, and He's going to walk in me and through me in this. He's going to carry me through this, because the goal of discipline is to bring you, according to Hebrews 12, into a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, a peaceable fruit of righteousness is a great place of enjoyment. And so I want to tell you, it was suffering during two-a-days. None of it was fun. But I want to tell you, when they turned the lights on Friday night, and you had 13,000 people there celebrating, shouting, and ready to get, I want to tell you, it was worth it. And so we suffer now for glory later. And it's temporary. And He's going to love you through it. And He's going to walk you through it. And really, sometimes I think the speed of walking through a discipline season has more to do with our yes to the Lord than it does what the Lord's trying to do. Because our yes to the Lord means that we're cooperating. And we're responding to Him. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Okay. He wants to correct you from destructive behavior. And think about this. He compares this to human parenting. Now, we all understand, please, I know this, and understand that human parents can miss big time. They can miss big time. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says even with human parents, we would cooperate. Number one, because you probably wanted to live. And number two, because you loved family. I want to tell you, the truth still stays. Because God says, choose life. I want you to have life. I want to protect you from destructive behavior, so I will discipline you. And if you belong to the Lord, you get disciplined. Now, if you're one of those, and I've had some tell me, well, the Lord don't treat me that way, then I turn around and say, well, you don't belong to Him. Because that's what the Bible says. If you belong to Him, He loves you enough to discipline you. Every now and then we find a parent that doesn't discipline. And I get to love them with the truth and say, well, the Bible says you don't love your child. You're loving yourself more than you love your child. Okay, now that doesn't go over very well. But I'm telling you, it's the truth, though. If you love your child, and I want to tell you, if you're enjoying discipline, your child, you're doing it wrong. Okay, I'm not preaching on that today. I'm trying to set up what I'm going to preach. Okay. So He will correct you from destructive behavior. He will redirect you from a distracted burden. Because sometimes it's not outright sin. Sometimes we get distracted by things that are not the main thing. And we get so wrapped up in the little things, the cares of this world, the pleasures of this world, the worries of this world that we miss the main thing. We get out of the love lane. And so he will correct us from distracted focus. And that requires some, hey, wake up. Okay. Bible says, awake thou, O sleeper. Now that's pretty much Bible right there. That's what it says. Okay. I'm not applying it to that. But he will develop you to keep Jesus as your shepherd. Because when Jesus is your shepherd, he's going to walk you through. Okay? He will develop you into recognizing that Jesus is your provider. Your shepherd is your provider. You see, that's good because that erases a lot of anxiety and worry about the future because he's in your future. And he will develop you, discipline you, develop you, teaching process you that Jesus is your protector. That takes away a lot of the fear part. So I want to tell you, that erases a lot of things that gets people off track. Wow, this is Hebrews 12, and I got to get on here. Oh, okay. He will coach you to keep on keeping on. He will coach you to win. He will coach you to finish as an overcomer. So, it gets down to verse 12, says this, and see, this is not in your notes either, but I'm just telling you. He'll say, take the shaky hands and the weak knees, and let's get them fixed. Let's straighten them out. And so what he's saying then is that, so as a result of the Lord working in your life for your good and for your best and bringing you to a place of peaceful fruitfulness, which is a great blessing place, to bring you to this place of blessing, he says, okay, so be encouraged. Get your helmet on. Get ready to rumble. Surrender now for victory later. I want to tell you, this is not deep. I mean, Children's Church catches this. Surrender now for victory later. Get ready. And what he's saying is this, there's no room for a victim mindset. If you have a victim mindset through the discipline of the Lord, you're not going to respond right. You're not a victim. He's disciplining you to bring you to a victor. But you got to have it in your mind first. Understand that he's working it out for your good and his glory. That's how much he loves you. And so it's not a self focus, it's a Savior focus. If you try to make it about you, you're going to miss. If you make it about him, you're going to win. Man, I'll tell you, that's good stuff, Lord. Thank you. All right, so verse 13. Here we are now. We're at verse 13. Are you ready? And so this is how to stay in the game. How to not only win the game, we dealt with that last week, but how to have a winning season. Is anybody interested in a championship season? Well, he says in verse 13, now we got to go fast. You ready? Intro's over. Let's go. Change. Cut through and make firm. Change. There is no victory without change. That's what repentance is. Repentance means change your mind. Okay, you may need to drop tears. You may need to be sorrowful for your sin, especially if it's in control. You may need to let that die, but I'm here to tell you, repentance means change your mind. And I want to tell you, you got to change. If you think that you're going to continue with the same mindset, same attitude, same practice, on the same schedule, I want to tell you, you're destined for failure. If you don't shoot for the target, you'll miss every time. And so change, it means to cut through. In other words, let the main thing be the main thing in your life, and you're going to get there. You say, well, my destination is to get free from this or to attain this. Or to become this. Wait, you can miss that way. Let me tell you about the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. And your fellowship, your relationship with Jesus. Let Jesus be the main thing. If you focus on the minors, you can miss. You'll get distracted. You'll get off path. And so let's focus. Let's let Jesus be your destination. If Jesus is your destination, then you will grow in your journey. You'll change in your journey because he does it. All right? Man, that's pretty powerful right there. It's one joy to experience a victory, but I want to tell you, it's a greater joy to experience a championship season. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that are due a championship season, aren't you? All right. Well, he's showing us how to do this. Cut through and make firm. Be dedicated. Be determined. Make a change. Make firm and plain and smooth. Somebody say the main thing. Smooth, straight paths for your feet. All right? I want to tell you, if the enemy can't get you in a obvious sin, he'll get you so distracted with good things that you miss. Okay. Straight paths for your feet. Yes, look at the Amplified. Make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction. Somebody say Jesus. So that the lame and halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather be cured. Now, boy, this is an interesting emphasis here, because I want to tell you something. In any journey, and I want to tell you, the game of football would teach you about this, is that, you know what, when you play ball, you're going to experience pain. But there's a difference between pain and injury. Pain, you have the concept that no matter what, I'm going to win. No matter what, I'm going to carry on. Now, an injury is something else. But I want to tell you, how many of you know that a pain can become an injury if it's not dealt with? All right. I want to tell you, in this journey, you get hurts. Right here, you get pain. Right here. And I want to tell you, if you don't make a straight path for your feet, somebody say the love lane. Because it's all based on the love of Jesus. And he wants to love you through it. And I want to tell you, the love lane is the Jesus lane. It's a straight path for your feet. And if you don't walk in the love lane, your hurt, your pain, can become a bitterness, can become an injury. Well, he tells us what to do with that. So that it may not be put out of joint. Somebody say dislocated. See, that's what happens. So your pain can become a dislocation. It can become an injury. You got to deal in the love lane with Jesus and let this hurt, let this pain, let this disappointment, let this offense be healed by Jesus through love life. If you don't, it's going to grow. I don't care who you are, education, money, whatever. I want to tell you, if you allow hurt to stay in your heart, it will become an injury that will dislocate you from your primary purpose. Your primary purpose is intimacy and love life with Jesus. But he's telling us this is how offenses are healed. How to win. How to not let a hurt become an injury that sidelines you. Amen. Strive to live in peace with everybody. You got to be committed to peace. Strive to live in peace. Be determined. Be consistent to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness, that determination that I'm going to follow after my shepherd. I'm going to say yes to my shepherd. I'm going to choose Jesus over me, Savior over self. It's what it's talking about. And without that determination, no one's going to see the Lord. Well, what is that? No, it's talking about revelation. Now, what happens is this, is that we have people that have been used of God, who have walked with the Lord, who've got a mind, a brain full of scripture and principles. But they let an offense come in. Come on, now I deal with them. They let an offense come in, and that offense turns into a cancer. And it spreads, and it poisons, and it causes that pain becomes an injury because they didn't walk in the love lane with Jesus and allow Jesus to heal that, restore that, recover that. And with an injury, with a dislocation and injury, I want to tell you what's hard is that they still know all the facts. They still got a brain full of scripture and principles. and they know by experience how the Lord has used them in the past. But I want to tell you, there's a difference. There's a difference. Because with this injury, they're sidelined. They've lost intimacy with the Lord because they're not walking in the love lane. And if you don't walk in the love lane, your heart becomes cold. It becomes distant. It becomes hardened. And even though you know all the same things and you can tell other people what to do about it, you haven't walked in it. And because you're not walking in it, it's become an injury and you've lost your freshness with the Lord. Your heart's insensitive to Jesus. Fact, but not fresh. He designed you to walk in freshness of His love. His love, the water of His word with His love, has a way of washing away those hurts, those wounds, before they become a sideline injury. Are you ready for more? Okay. This is how you get revelation. See, without walking in the love lane, you don't get revelation. It's logos, it's not rhema. It's letter, but it's not life. Verse 15, exercise foresight. And be on watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, His unmerited favor, His spiritual blessing. Now look, this is what it's saying right here. You know what? It's not just you on this journey by yourself. You're a part of the body of Christ. And you know what? We are more connected to one another than you think we are. And we need each other. And what it's saying here is that it's not just about you. Let it be about Jesus, and when it's about Jesus, He's going to give you a heart of passion and love for others, and we don't just look out for what God's doing here, but we have a lookout for one another. Look out for one another. Look out for one another. And when you see, this is what this is saying, that someone that you are connected with has gotten wounded, has gotten a hurt. You say, well, how do you know, man? The countenance, the voice, the words, the reflection, the communication out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I want to tell you, when you hear or sense or catch that one of our brothers or sisters has got a wound or offense, then we're to encourage, exhort one another, respond to the grace of God. Come on now. Come on, brother. Get in the love lane here. You know what happens when we get in the love lane? When you let the Lord love on you, you get healed. And you don't allow this hurt to become an injury. Are you with me? And so that's what we're supposed to do for one another. We're to look out for one another. You know what it is? It's loving one another to tell the truth. It's loving one another, get this, to ask the right questions. Maybe the tough questions. Brother, are you okay? Have you been offended? Is your heart disturbed? Are you at peace? How can I be a blessing to you? Because I want to tell you, our goal is not to offend. Our goal is to love on people. And even if they don't respond to you, if they know that they've been loved on, the Holy Spirit's working. Help one another to not fail to secure God's grace. Now, this is what's called falling from grace. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means that you don't respond to the love and the grace and the mercy of the Lord. You say no to it. That's how that a small hurt, a pain in your heart can become an injury. That can sideline you. Look at this. Verse 15, in order... We encourage one another to respond to the grace of God, His unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment. You see, it starts in the heart. A root. Small root. Maybe nobody else can see at the moment. But a small root that develops and grows bitterness. Picture it like a small cancer that has a way of growing and poisoning the whole body. Not just your whole body, but according to this, it shoots forth, do you see it? This rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment in you, and look at this, and not just you, and the many. Who's the many? Those that you love and care for. Those that you know. Become contaminated and defiled by the very poison you're allowing to grow in you. So do you see that we're connected? And so, hey, I'm asking you a tough question. Are you more aware of life, the life of Jesus in you? Are you more aware of contamination? Disturbance. Troubled. Hey, rancor, and you see in the Amplified, rancor, I had to look that up, but you know what it is? It's long-lasting resentment. Isn't that a picture? That we have this hit, and we say, you know what, I'm just determined, I'm not going to like them anymore. I am putting up a wall between me and them. Well, I want to tell you, here's what we don't know, and that I'm going to give you right now. If you put a wall up between you and people, you also have a roof between you and the Lord. Walls up, roof over. Now, I want to tell you, it's a hindrance because it's a root of bitterness. Now, listen, it's based on a lie because I want to tell you something. Jesus has forgiven you millions of dollars. And so you have the forgiveness in you to forgive $100 to someone else. And so there shouldn't be any wall there. The wall is a lie. But if you believe it, you receive it. You receive it, you act like it. And the wall, the roof that comes between you and the Lord, it's not real. But the liar will tell you it is. And he'll give a condemnation and disturbance and that sense of being away or far away from God. That's a lie. Jesus paid the price for that to be, for your intimacy with him to be true, no matter what your experience is, it's there and it's real. So I'm telling you, no matter where you've been, you can turn your heart to God and the Lord is there to receive you, to love on you, to bless you. But if you believe the lie, oh, he's mad at me. See, that's the liar. It'll cause you to stay away and it'll cause you to run away. What happens when you run away from him? Well, you're not responding to his grace. Well, so it actually has a way of contaminating those we love. Now, I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to just tell you, this is a regression. This regression in verse 16 points out, oh, do I have 16? No? Well, look here. This regression, this root springs up and grows a poisonous plant of bitterness that defiles others. But I want to tell you, you don't get better by yourself. Poison is death. Jesus is life. Come to life. Verse 16 says this, is that the next step is that you become guilty of a sexual vice. Somebody say sexual addiction. Okay, it's rampant. Yeah, I would not dare tell you, but you would be shocked about how much of it I deal with people. Or, and a lot of times it's connected, one hand, other hand, they become so disrespectful of the things of God that they make mockery of it. And if you would know these people and know their history, you say, well, man, I remember when they were, you know, hey, come on now. But now, they make mockery and disrespect the things of God. Well, I want to tell you, I'm not offended by it because I know it's a result of poison. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus heals. His life chases away death. And I want to tell you, one of the things that I do, of course, we take authority over death. We give them discipline, correction, direction, and all that kind of stuff. That's a part of loving on people. But at the same time, we get to the good part. When they respond, we get to the good part and say, you know what we're going to do now? Saturate you with life. And one of the things, if you've got a continual problem somewhere in your body, one of the best things you can do is saturate your body with life. Okay? Dr. Schultz would say, Quit doing what makes you sick and start doing what will make you well. He'd say, stop eating death and start eating life. And then he'd say, and I'll sell you what you need. You know? Okay. But what I'm saying, there's a principle there. You saturate your soul, your heart, your mind. Saturate your soul to agree with your spirit about the life of Jesus. And you saturate yourself with the life. Life chases away every form of death. His love chases away every form of darkness. That's why we talk about being in the love lane. Love lane. Help each other to win. We're a team. Look out for one another. We need Jesus. We need one another. It's important. Look at this. I'm going to speed up. Grace is receiving from the Lord and sharing His love with one another. Walking in the love lane between you and the Lord and with each other. That way there's roof off, walls down. That's what the love lane does. It allows you to be free to receive and free to share His love with other people. You know what that means? That means you give mercy when people offend you. You give mercy. I had an offense come last week, and it was in the form of disrespect. And you know what? It didn't last long because I recognized it. Oh, wait. You see, you got to be committed to peace. You got to be so committed in pursuing peace with one another, just like the scripture said, that you know what? Any form or any shadow of disturbance that's not peace, you need to arrest it right then. Hey, I give that to the Lord. I trust in the Lord's obedience on the cross to set me free from this disturbance. I come and receive the love of the Lord. You see, you got to be so committed to peace that any shadow that comes over peace, I want to tell you, needs to be recognized and resisted immediately. And one of the ways that we resist, see, it's not our will, it's running to the Lord and letting His love on us. There's strength and power and victory in His love. Amen? Well, I want to tell you, that's very, very precious. That's the way the Lord loves to deal with it. And I'll just go ahead and say this. Strive to live in peace means that you do what you can do. And you know what? When people don't respond to peace, then I'm just going to share this with you. That's between them and God. You're not responsible for them to respond. There are some people on this earth. Y'all, please forgive my East Texas language. There's some people on this earth that's committed to being rear ends. They love soap opera. They love disturbance. They love to come and stir things up. I want to tell you, it's evil and it's wicked. One of the things that God hates is for someone to whisper things to separate brothers. I want to tell you, God hates that. You know why? Because that's of darkness. He's about unity, not division. Okay, so let's receive. One of the things that's got to be clear in this, there's no room for victim mindset. Don't allow yourself to be dislocated from your purpose. Your purpose is the love lane, the peace path. Don't you love that? The love lane and the peace path. And I want to tell you, walking in humility allows you to receive grace. Hallelujah. Forgive. Focus on what Jesus is doing, not what man's doing. Put your hope in the Lord. Lay down expectations for humans. I don't care who they are. I want to tell you, most offenses come because you got expectations for someone that they didn't fulfill. Now, I want to tell you a secret, just lay them down. Lay down expectations for humans and be grateful and thanksgiving for everything and everybody. Well, that's Bible too. Forgive. Focus on what Jesus is doing. Unforgiveness can block what God's doing because you believe a lie. It makes you a target for condemnation. It's saying no to grace. You can say yes to grace today and you can win. All right? Amen? All right? Let me share some beautiful verses to you. And, and I'm sharing this with you because in the midst of this, I know from ministering to people, there's always usually a question that comes up. Yeah, but I've had wasted days and wasted nights. Yeah, we all have. You see, and you know, you think, well, I've wasted years of my life, or I've wasted days, I've wasted seasons of my life. and I've been in this pit for decades. What about that? Well, I want to tell you good news. Jesus, and I'm going to cover this next week, so keep your seatbelt on this channel. But it goes like this. Jesus is the only one that can redeem the time in our life because he's the Redeemer. He can redeem the time. How about Psalm 90, verse 12? It's there in your notes. So, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might get us a heart of wisdom. And it goes like this. Help us realize how short our days are, that we might respond with dedication and determination. To be determined and to be dedicated. I want to tell you, it makes a difference if you're watching a ball game and you see fourth quarter start. Because they know they got 12 minutes, 15 minutes left, and it's it. And you know what they do? They give everything as if they haven't before, but they dedicate everything that they got. They're all in to, you know what, being all in to see a win. And that's what happens when we have a consciousness to know. And this is one of the things that Ball taught me, is that you never know when your last game will be. You see, I very well know this may be my last time to present Jesus. And so, you know what? I try to go with passion and compassion, but I try to go all in and wholehearted because this may be my last play. Been told I'm in the fourth quarter of my life. Okay. I know about fourth quarter. I know how with momentum of the Lord, and he gives you momentum by his grace, you can win more in the fourth quarter than you have in the three quarters before. Somebody ought to catch that. Psalm 90, verse 14. Oh, satisfy us, Lord, with your mercy and loving kindness. Somebody say grace. I want to tell you, he's faithful in his unconditional love. And he loves to satisfy you. He loves to minister to you. His love and mercy, his loving kindness, every day. It says here in the morning. Now, I believe in that. And I meet with folk and share with them that, yes, I'm up very early because I need to spend hours with the Lord before I dare talk to a human. You want me to do that. But it makes a heaven of a lot of difference. Okay, now if you're not a morning person, hey, I want to tell you, flex. Let the Lord give you a time for you and him. Because he's all about it. He's available. When are you available? Well, we take time for those who we deem important. And so if it's at night, well, praise God at night. But don't just have a spiritual thought or a spiritual verse, have an encounter with God. Hey, let your soul be satisfied with the Lord every day in the love lane with him, the love life exchange. Are you doing that? He wants that. Now, I got to ask a tough question. Is Jesus enough for you? Let me say it in another way. Are you satisfied with Jesus? What else do you need? Because if you're not satisfied with Jesus, then you have this proposed vacuum here that you're trying to fill with other things. And I want to tell you what that is. That's a miss. That's getting off the main path. That's not the main thing. You're majoring on a minor. Okay? We need to major on a major. Is Jesus enough for you? I'm going to say, if you're sat there in your mind saying, well, no, not really, then you don't know him well enough. You don't know him well enough, but you can. And he wants you to know him well enough to be satisfied every day with him. And what effect does this have? It's not a side effect. It's a blessing. Let me tell you what this blessing does for you. It causes you to rejoice in your heart. How long has it been since you've had Jesus' joy overflow your cup? Where David said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. That is not the exception. Are you listening? That's the norm. That's the norm. You say, well, that's not real. No, you're living subnormal. Because he paid for more than that. Now, it may take a season or two to get there, but this is where he's designed you, where your cup overflows with his love and joy and peace. That's Jesus. No man can give you that. No woman can give you that. Yeah. So we'll rejoice, so we'll sing for joy, and we'll be glad all of our days. Is anyone in here tired of being sad and would rather be glad? Well, I want to tell you, the abundant life, see, the life flow of Jesus will chase away the sadness and give you a heart of gladness. Wouldn't you rather spend the last quarter of your life or the last halftime of your life in gladness and not sadness? Wouldn't you rather go out with a shout and not a pout? You got time for one more, two more verses? Okay, you do. All right. Psalm 90, verse 16. Let your work, Lord Jesus, we need to see the power of your work. Let your work, the signs of your power, show us the signs of your power. May they be revealed to all of your servants here and your glorious majesty to our children. Hey, I'm going to put it to you like this. He wants to reveal his glory to you. The world don't see it. They don't recognize it. They don't respond to it. But he wants to reveal his glory to you. I want to tell you what he is. He's a loving father that's supernatural. And he wants to minister his power in your behalf, where that part of your testimony, his story, your history, his story in your life is that, you know what? It was impossible for me to get out of this pit. Jesus did it. He delivered me. He rescued me. I had a negative mindset from early on in childhood because of the junk that happened. But I want to tell you, he set me free from a negative viewpoint to a positive viewpoint. Because now I walk in his hope and his love and his joy. I went from a negative person to a positive person because of Jesus. See, that's supernatural. And people that know you, get to know you now, or people that knew you back then saying, well, what's happened to you? Because this is not the you I knew. And you get to say Jesus. And what he's done for me, he can do for you, no matter what the name of your pit is. Praise ye the Lord. And I want to say this, because this is what the Bible says, is that your children and children's children need to see the power of God. They need to see the power of God. They need to see that the God you love and serve, that you're raising them up under, is a supernatural God. And I'm telling you, they need to see it, because they're going to come to a time in their journey where they need the supernatural power of God. And when they've seen it with their own eyes in your life and in their family, they'll say, the same Jesus I love did supernatural back then. He's the same. He's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will do supernatural for me because he loves me. They need to know. They need to see the supernatural. Let the beauty and delightfulness, the majesty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the grace and favor of the Lord, the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Be upon us. Confirm and establish the work of our hands. Lord, make what we do a success. Now let me tell you, especially in our culture, there's a consuming fire for success. That's not all bad, but I want to tell you something. As believers, we have an advantage because we see Jesus as our success. And the Word says that he will cause us to succeed. It's him. And so the focus, again, here we are on focus, but the focus of our success needs to be you, Lord, and not me. You are not your self-success. I know the world loves to claim it. The world loves to celebrate it. But I'm here to tell you something. Your success is in Jesus. And I want to tell you, next week I'm so excited to show you through Scripture how He redeems wasted days and wasted night, wasted years, wasted seasons. He redeems them. I'm going to show you that because you know what? Let the Lord be your success, and your success will be celebrated not just on earth but in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. If you're successful here because of you and for you and about you, it's forgotten so quickly. Now, I'm going to share this little scenario, and I hope you understand this. It might be a little much, so I'm just going to trust you with it. Be easy to misunderstand this. It's very, very human. Not believer loving Jesus, but it's very human to take the things of God for granted, to take people for granted. Okay? It's very human. Now, as believers, if we're walking in the love lane, part of the expression of the love lane is thankfulness and gratefulness and praise and celebration and esteeming the Lord. And I want to tell you what I found out in my life and in your life too. When we esteem and praise and celebrate the Lord, we're not only thankful to Him, we're thankful for those around us. Because you see, it's always a two-way. Vertical, horizontal. Remember roof on, walls up. I'm telling you, roof off, walls down. I'm telling you, the principle is, it's this love life manifest in this love life. If it don't manifest in this love life ain't real. Okay. Well, I'm here to tell you something. There are times that people are going to take you for granted. You know what? That's human. It happens in marriages. It happens in our love life with the Lord. We take them for granted. I want to tell you how else it happens between children and parents, parents and children. Am I right? So I'm just going to tell you something. This is a powerful prayer. Lord, show forth your power. You cause me to be successful. And when He receives the honor and glory, I want to tell you, He gives you favor, not just with Him, but according to the Bible, He gives you favor with man. And not only that, He can give you favor with your enemies. That's how big the favor of God is. You can't accomplish that on your own. Because you go around trying to please everybody, then you end up being a nobody. Okay. Every now and then, as I was raising two All-American boys, they would take me for granted. And the Lord would show me something about their life that I had no way of knowing except the Lord show me. And when I, walking in the love of the Lord, loved them enough to speak between their eyes and reveal to them what the Lord had shown me, they knew it was supernatural. It happens with staff. You know what? It's real easy. I'm more celebrated. The further people are away from me, the more celebrated I am. I'm not shocked by that. I understand that. But I want to tell you, every now and then, even with staff, you know, it's just, oh, well, that's old Brother Tim, you know. Now, that's human. I'm not saying it's spiritual, but it's human. But I want to tell you something. It seems like about once every 5 years or once a decade or something, the Lord will tell me something that He's going to do. And I'll announce it, and people will go, yeah, right, Brother Tim. And then the Lord does it. And then they have to say, you know what? I don't necessarily agree with him about everything. I don't necessarily don't like about everything. But I want to tell you, he hears from God. At least sometimes, he hears from God. Now, I want to tell you, this is for you. Because in your relationships, you walk in the love lane with Jesus, and the Lord gives you favor. And He works His supernatural in and through your life, where that people around you will say, I don't necessarily believe like they do. I don't necessarily agree with them. I don't necessarily even like him. But I want to tell you, God's on them. Now, that's something that you can't do. But that's one of the ways of the Lord. But it all comes from walking in the love lane. Now, I want to tell you, no matter what it is, whether it's with your mate, whether it's with one of your kids, whether it's with friends, neighborhood, whatever it is, I want to tell you, Jesus wants to love on you. And His love, according to the Bible, His love will chase away every form of fear and condemnation. The Bible says we'll chase it out the door. It says every little bit of it, His love will cleanse your life. And so I'm presenting to you, don't let an offense stand in the way of you having a win day in a championship season. Because He's paid the price for you to be free. He's forgiven you the $1 million debt. And His forgiveness in you can forgive the $100 debt. It may go back to your parents. It may go back to your spouse. It may go back to some childhood event. But I'm telling you, His love will set you free. You can walk free in 23. I'm praying for you right now. Father, thank You so much. Thank You for Your love life. Thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You for the power of Your love. I ask right now, Holy Spirit, come and release the ministry of Your love to every heart, every mind. I declare in the name of Jesus for the eyes of the hearts to be open, for the ears of the hearts to be open, that they may see You, see the price that You paid for their freedom, that they are loved, and that Your love is life. That the very life of Jesus drives away every miserable form of death. Every form of darkness. Your light chases away darkness. Your love chases away every wound and hurt and heals and takes away the root. Only You can do that, Lord, and we give You praise. And I pray in the name of Jesus, great drawing grace and a ministry touch of Your love that will speak to every heart, every life, that Jesus' love sets us free. And we give You praise. And all the people said, hallelujah and amen. You tune in next week. We're going to pick up and see how our Redeemer redeems your time. I love that. I'm so excited. I wish you could stay, and because I'm ready to go with it.